Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, present CEO of The Wine Growers, here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and I'm trying to extend this, enjoy wine, because I knew what was coming. I knew.
The bubble bell
The bubble bell is in studio.
Tell me how much you've missed the bubble bell.
I don't know that I could describe how much.
I want to know how much Jeff, our producer, misses it.
I will cut your microphone off.
I'm wondering how long it's going to last before it's moved permanently away from you.
And Jeff, producer, in all fairness, I brought this bubble bell as a gift for Virginie, and then it came back to me, which left me in control of the bubble bell. So, I mean, you really only have her to blame.
You ever think her giving you back the bubble bell was kind of like subliminal messaging, like, we don't need this?
It was
I'm
related.
I'm looking at the joy on her face. I'm saying no. Yes.
Is the joy in her face from the bubble bell, or is it more like Schadenfreude from my misery?
No, don't wish for your misery at all. I don't. I thought it was banned from your office for a while too.
Yeah.
So it is curious that you have it. Yeah. Okay.
And that's where Steve was like, why do we have a bubble bell here?
Exactly.
Like, you never know.
Well, do you keep it on the bar at least?
It comes out on occasion.
I can only imagine.
It may occasionally wear its welcome out at home too.
Yes. Okay. Late at night. I'm picturing late at night, kind of a lot of empty bottles and bubble bell comes out
ding,
and everyone's
ding,
like,
ding,
God,
ding.
No.
Yeah.
Please, no.
I mean, I think that's a sign for they want more bubbles, but maybe not.
Yes, that is kind of what its intent is. Yeah. Why do you have the bubble bell today?
Well, our guest is going to be all about bubbles, but I don't want to ruin that yet. But also celebrating a lot of fun stuff. Our team today, part of our marketing team, is actually down in Charleston for the food and wine event. So tonight we are actually hosting the Low Country Tailgate.
Of course you are.
Who doesn't want to go to that? It's Southern Living. Editor-in-Chief Sid Evans and award-winning musician and culinary star Trisha Yearwood are sort of the stars of this low country tailgate party.
Yep.
And Sonoma County Wine Growers is providing all the wine. So there's going to be a lot of great chefs down there. Really fun, just sort of evening experience right outside of Charleston as part of the Food and Wine Classic down there. And again, Sonoma County Wine Growers providing all the wine. And then we head from there, where I will be meeting up with Leah on our team in Chicago for one of our final Chicago Bears activations of the season with their partner, Crate and Barrel. We're actually hosting at the Crate and Barrel store the players and wives and coaches and owners and some of the top fans. And we are pouring Sonoma County wine while they all enjoy sort of a shopping, pre-holiday shopping experience.
And bring your jacket.
I know, Chicago. From Charleston to Chicago. Leah's going to have a bit of a shock, probably in temperature, but
right.
I'll be coming straight from here, so I'll pack accordingly.
I'm so glad.
And bring the bell.
And please, please bring the bell. And make sure there's lots of video of the players' reactions.
I know, Hebel will travel. So
okay.
That is the plan.
All right, well, we will be back in a minute to introduce our guest on today's Good Stuff. Joining us on today's Good Stuff in studio, we have Sarah Quiter, award-winning winemaker. I'm trying to pronounce everything.
You're just so excited we're talking about bubbles today.
I am so excited. I am so tongue-tied. Okay, so let me try that again. She's award-winning winemaker, founder, but most importantly, founder of Healdsburg Bubble Bar.
Yay! Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're so excited.
Thanks for coming.
You.
I've got to bring the bubble bell out. It's like a momentous day here.
It's such, I mean, I
and our producer's so happy. Jeff is so happy today.
He's so happy that we're going to be finished soon, right? So let's start you're a local kid. My memory is that you grew up in Sebastopol, no?
I grew up in Sonoma County my whole life. I was born in Berkeley, but 6 months after I was born, we moved to Petaluma. And then I went to Guerneville Elementary, went to El Molino High School, went to Sonoma State, ended up going to Davis. But Sonoma County is definitely my home.
Yeah, amazing.
That's very rooted.
It is extremely
And like West rooted. Sonoma County.
Yeah.
After that Petaluma stint.
Yeah. And I've been in Healdsburg now for 15 years.
Okay.
Living there.
Yeah. Right. So you just keep moving north. You went west too.
I'm pretty happy in Healdsburg. Healdsburg's pretty special.
It is pretty special. So were your parents involved in wine at all? Or
no.
Farming? No.
Nope.
They just ended up in Kernville
somehow. Actually was following my mom's dream. She was a marine biologist, and so I went to Sonoma State for biology, got a job at Bodega Bay, but I would cut fish every day, and I would find scales in my hair, and my hands would smell like fish, and I was like, I don't want to do this. I didn't go to college to cut fish.
Like, it's not the lifelong dream.
No. I mean, I love being outdoors and in, you know, the ocean and doing something science-wise,
right.
But I quit one day, and I decided I didn't know what I was going to do. I worked a harvest, and that was 29 years ago at Ferrari Corona. I just was a harvest intern, and I realized that wine actually is biology and science, because the yeast converting sugar to alcohol, bacteria, malic to lactic. And I just fell in love with wine, just because at the end of the day, I didn't have scales in my hair and fishy hands. I had a bottle of wine.
You had this beautiful product that you got to enjoy.
Yeah.
So does that mean you went to Davis for marine biology, or
I graduated in Sonoma State with a biology degree, and I went to Davis. I worked a few years in the industry and then went to Davis.
Okay.
Rob Davis at Jordan encouraged me to get my degree for winemaking.
Okay.
But did you, I mean, sort of Kernville, going to El Molino, clearly you were, like, centered in what I would call some of the heart of agriculture here. So growing up, I mean, like, were you friends with farmers? Did you hang out on ranches? Like, what was your childhood like? And I know some of these answers, but...
I know, yeah. I love this community and this industry. I mean, I remember when I was younger, it was Apple.
Yep.
And Steve Dutton, the Duttons. It was all about apples. And we would get out of high school and we'd go steal an apple a day.
They recommend it. I mean, besides the stealing part.
Right, yeah. Yes, I know. But it's neat to see the change of what's happening. And wine is amazing. So many people that I've known in Sonoma County, just throughout Sebastopol and Santa Rosa and Healdsburg, Alexander Valley, there's so many growers and beautiful people in this industry.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And you started I think I first met you when you were at Ferrari Crano making wine. So talk a little bit. So you started as an intern.
I started as an intern. And
why Ferrari Crano?
They were already starting harvest. And they lost their lab intern. And I walked in. I did the interview. And all I remember, it was, you know how during harvest, everything smells so beautiful. And they were making a lot of Sauvignon Blanc and Chardonnay. And I walked in, and it was all I can smell was peaches and flowers and citrus and, like, no fish smell anywhere.
Yeah, better than fish. Yes.
A long way from Bodega Bay there.
And I just fell in love with the aromatics. And this is something that I love about. I love to smell and taste things. And I just fell in love with it. So that was my start. I worked a few years at Ferrari Crano, and then I wanted to see other wineries. So I went to Jordan Winery. And Jordan was fantastic. Rob Davis was my true mentor in the industry, where he taught me how to taste. Like, we'd sit down and taste. And I went through the vineyards with him. I learned about the vineyards. I traveled internationally with him. He was like, go to Davis, get your degree. You ask a lot of questions. It will open so many more doors if you have a degree. So I did. Went to Davis. And then when I graduated, I needed, I had left Jordan, and I went to Ferrari Crano to get a reference. And at that point, they had just finished building their red wine facility.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the year, and they were going to split the staff up, and they're like, we can't give you a reference. We're going to actually offer you a job.
Wow.
Well, that's nice.
That is very nice.
So I came in and started back in 2003 and worked with the white winery and the red, there was a red winery facility. Was working with George Bursick for years, and then he gave notice, so I took over just making the white wines at Ferrari Crano. And at that time, Aaron Piotr was doing all the red wines.
Yeah.
And then he left, and then I became the executive winemaker for all of the Ferrari Crano.
And then COVID hit.
Oh yeah.
So wait, like, step back for a second, because
that was a fast trajectory.
Because in the early day, I mean, you're first in at Ferrari Carano. It's still Don and Rhonda Carano owning it, correct?
Yes.
So somewhere along the line, it becomes part of Foley.
So that was 2020.
Was it 2020?
That was COVID. Yeah.
Okay.
COVID. So during COVID, that's when I started drinking champagne like crazy because I...
Because you couldn't. It was COVID.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was just that time. Of the, you know, it was so scary. And we were watching the news about, you know, what country has more deaths. And it kind of gave me that panic of anybody could get this. Yep. And I was like, if I'm not going to make it through COVID, I might as well drink champagne.
I love it.
That was the start of it. But then also during 2020... Bill Foley purchased Ferrari Carano.
Okay.
And so I even drank more champagne.
right.
I like it.
And it just, and then I became the senior vice president of the Foley portfolio, which was managing 20 winemakers.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That was a big transition.
It was a big transition. I liked it. I learned so much working for Foley, you know, the great people there. I was, you know, Washington, Oregon, Santa Barbara, Napa, Sonoma.
But you're kind of removed then from the winemaking and the vineyards, and really you're managing people at that point, right?
And budgets, I mean, orders, and additives, and looking at spreadsheets, doing Teams meetings, doing PowerPoint presentations.
It's a little more like a GM role than,
it was a lot.
It's a big transition. I mean, I think you hear a title and you still think you're out there in it, but you're really...
I stopped making wine in 2020, so that was, I was like, okay. And then at that point, I was like, you know what? I miss being around people. Mm-hmm. I was behind the computer so much that I was like, you know what? I think I want to do a champagne bar. And when I was at Foley, I went to this great champagne bar in Chicago called Pops.
Mm-hmm.
Been
there.
It's amazing.
I know,
and
it's
great. Loved it.
Yes.
And I was like, gosh, I think I live in the town of Healdsburg. And I was like, I think this could work in Healdsburg. I think this town has so many wineries, but all the food, the art, it's a tourist destination. And so to me, I was like, I think this might work.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked that Pops had champagne and sparkling wines from all over the world and how they separated. They had a lot of grower champagnes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think I want to do this.
Yeah. Because the winemaking community alone is, you know, insatiable for sparkling wine. So you've got like a great market of people that just among your peers.
I have so many winemakers that come in because I do this thing at my bubble bar is I do blind flights. And that is part of my winemaking. We would taste blind every morning at 10 a.m., whether it was the vineyards, whether it was a yeast experiment, whether it was a fining trial. So to me, I was always tasting blind and I loved challenging people, the winemaking staff and, you know, my employees and my coworkers, how to taste blind. And I said, I think this might work in the bar. So it is one of the number one selling items that I have. Winemakers come in, winery owners come in, they do these blind flights. I have master sommeliers that come in from other, you know, hotels.
So fun.
And they do these blind flights and it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Are you trying to trick anyone or is it pretty straightforward?
Some of them are hard.
Yeah.
Some of them are really, really hard. But then some of them are, it's like, here's a champagne, Prosecco, and Cava. Can you tell the difference?
I went in and I got 0 out of 3.
Wow.
And you did.
Were you trying?
No, not really. I was like,
you were
drinking. I don't want to be tricked.
I'm pretty sure you were thinking.
Some people get so intimidated and they get so competitive. I have couples that come in and they actually have to sit at separate tables.
Oh my gosh.
They get so competitive.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
And they hide their notes and their guess.
Oh my gosh.
It's such a fun idea.
So do you get anything except for glory if you get it all right?
So if you get it correctly, then all the correct tags go into a champagne bucket the first day of the month, and I throw them all in there and I pick a card, and you get a free bottle of your favorite. So I always ask the favorite of the champagne. So everybody gets, but whoever gets the drawing gets a free bottle of champagne.
I love that. Oh, that's so fun.
Mm. Yeah.
I want to take a step back, though, and ask you about your love of champagne. So, I mean, outside of the existential nature of COVID, and you're going to just drink because you should. Did you already have a love of champagne? Like, where did that come from?
You know, I think being a winemaker, you kind of love everything, right?
Mm, I hope so.
You do. I mean, or you're at least exposed.
You're open.
And curious.
You're open and curious, and I would always taste everything, whether it was the box wine or, like, anything. Mm-hmm. I was always curious because I think it it makes you think about your palate. Mm-hmm. What is this? What does the sweet wine taste like? What is, you know, this old wine taste like? What is, you know, mm-hmm. the $2 chuck?
Right,
you know,
right.
So it's all these things. You always have to have like a reference point. So I'll taste anything.
Right.
But champagne, I've been to champagne. I took myself, I was in Paris. I was like, I have a whole day. I'm going to take the train. I'm just going to go spend. Yeah.
As you should.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how do you think about your, like, why Healdsburg? How do you think about a location? Like, I mean, it's one thing to do winemaking into essentially a retail space.
Yeah.
That you have to invite people, attract people, and design and think about everything from napkins to chairs to colors.
Well, it's funny. How this whole building came about was the day that I decided, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to, like go all in. I'm going to.
What was the date?
It was April of 23. I decided I want to do it. So I called Eric Drew, who's the local real estate gentleman that does a lot of leases in the town of Healdsburg. So I was looking. I was like, hey, do you have anything that I can rent or lease for a champagne bar? And he goes, there's not one location in Healdsburg that has a wine bar lease that you can you can rent.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. He goes, but I got a listing last night. And it's a place that you can buy and you can convert it to a tasting room. And I know the regulations of the city of Healdsburg. They technically can't tell you no, because the law is that you get one tasting room per city block that's a commercial space, and nothing on that whole street on North was a tasting room, and I'm commercial. So I was like, okay. So I ended up buying the building.
Wow, that's jumping in.
Yeah.
From lease to owner. I'm going to just dip my toe in the bubbles versus I'm swimming
and
in the bubbles.
And had you quit your day job at this point?
No.
Okay.
Because I still had to buy the building, and I had to do some repairs to the building, and then I had the construction. And I met with my friend Gina, who owns the Myra Hoffer Design. Mm. And I said, I only have 400, my little bar is only 400 square feet. So I'm like, I really want to just make it a little French bistro cafe vibe. Mm-hmm. And we sat down and we looked at photos and we came up with the design. And I love it. It turned out great.
It's incredibly cute. All right, but I'm still curious, like, when did you quit your job?
Not yet. Today on air.
So in 2023, January, I didn't get the building till March, and then I talked to my sister. My sister lives in Connecticut, and I was like, hey, do you want to come back home and help me with this? She had a restaurant. She's like, yes, I've been trying to sell my restaurant. I'll sell my restaurant. I'll run the bubble bar. Mm. And then I was still going to work for Foley. And so she put it on the market. Couldn't sell. And so all this time while she was doing that, I was doing the construction, getting everything ready. And it was January to January. And I was like, I have to open. And she goes, I can't be here. So I go, okay, I'm all in. I bought the building. I did all this construction. I am going to have to quit. So I quit.
Okay. Wow. Well, we're going to take a quick break and come back on that thought here on The Good Stuff. Talking with our guest Sarah Quiter, award-winning winemaker, founder of Healdsburg Bubble Bar.
Yeah.
So you're waiting for your sister.
Yeah.
And waiting and waiting. And meantime, you're working still as a winemaker and managing 20 wineries at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
And
yeah.
Buying a building. Buying a building.
And remodeling it, getting it ready to open, picking the wines, tasting a lot of champagne.
So say, talk about picking the wines. Like, so what was your vision, and is it what you, did it sort of unfold the way you were planning?
I love my list. If you go on my website, Healdsburg Bubble Bar, you can see my menu. I have champagnes, I have Carmonts, I have Cavas, Proseccos, I have local sparkling wines, I have New Zealand, South Africa, I have Greek, I have wines from all over the world, I love to travel, so this is something that I love, having a diversity of wines, mm-hmm. and having wines I went to Greece, I want to try Greek sparkling wine or Argentina, so I think it's something for everybody. And absolutely. Some of them are very low price, where I do have some really expensive champagnes. Mm-hmm. So I kind of wanted something in the broad range, as well as beer and non-alcoholic bubbles. So
talk a little bit more about the building, because you bought a building, but it's bar and patio. And
there's 1,000-square-foot house on it as well, and that I converted from a residential to an Airbnb. Legally, because it's a commercial building, I could do a nightly Airbnb, pay the TOT taxes. And so it's, you know, there's so many guests that come to Healdsburg, and it's right, you know, it's down on the plaza. It's not a Trio or out of, you know, you don't have to take the shuttle or anything.
You get to walk.
You get to walk everywhere in Healdsburg. So it's a really beautiful, it's 1,000-square-foot house. It has a living room, a kitchen, a dining room, 2 bedrooms, 1 bath.
Nice.
And it's really beautiful. And the woman who did the interior design of the bubble bar also did the interior for the Airbnb. So it turned out great.
And so you're right behind Villette, and you're across from Single Thread. Mm-hmm. And I remember you discussing, like, being across from Single Thread is a very, very good thing.
Just what I learned is the town of Healdsburg, once you're in the town of Healdsburg, there's so many, everybody helps each other out. Hey, you need ice, you need this, you need, you have this community. And I think Healdsburg has that sense of community. If you need help or anything, hey, somebody needs coffee at my bubble bar. I don't have coffee. They'll go to Villette, grab a cup of coffee and bring it over. So I love the support from Villette as well as Single Thread.
And so tell us a little bit about, I mean, you build the wine list, you design the space, you build the wine list, and then it's still kind of, what, you opened in 23 or 24?
24, Valentine's Day.
Oh.
It's a perfect day.
That works.
Okay.
It was like perfect timing. Yeah.
And so you're, you know, the hospitality side of things, I mean, you are running the show there. You're the face most people see.
I love it.
And you love it.
Okay. I just have gotten to know so many people in the town of Healdsburg. So I have a lot of locals. A lot of people love champagne. So they come in. It's somebody's birthday. It's their anniversary. I got cancer free today. I got a new job. I quit a job. I got divorced. All these things that we celebrate life in general. They come in. The locals come in. Get together with girlfriends, mothers, everything. Families come.
Sorry, I'm busy looking at your menu.
I know Chris is planning
salivating
the 12 visits she's going to make.
And what I love is, like, I went to Safeway the other day, and somebody's like, "Hi, Miss Bubbles."
I love it.
And I thought it was really cute. Hey, Bubble Lady. Now I'm recognized as not the winemaker at Ferry Crono. It's more, you know, I'm a bubble lady.
You're the Mrs. Bubble Lady. How wonderful is that?
I know. I'm in.
Yeah, I know. That's your next. That's your next move. You could be a bubble lady too, Carissa.
I would enjoy that a lot.
Yeah,
it is fun.
So, how are you able to Are you able to travel still? Can you take some time off? And
I'm planning a trip to Champagne again, with a different lens. Definitely with a different.
Thanks
lens.
Thanks for taking one for the team.
I have to do research. I have to find. You know,
it's a field trip, isn't it?
It's,
you know, live
it's
on air field trip.
It's business.
No, but I mean, of course, you want to be able to go out there and see what people are doing and get some new discoveries. So go to Champagne.
Yeah. I want to go actually in April of next year. And the first week of April is always their Vinclair, where they taste the wines from the previous vintage. So the wines that they just made in 2025 will be able to taste the base wines in April of next year before they go down to Tourage. Yep. So I think that would be fun, being the winemaker that I am, that you kind of taste it before how the quality of the vintage was. It was much better than last year. They had rain during bloom, and they had some issues with mildew last year. So last year was not the best year, but this year was a better year in Champagne.
Were you ever able to make sparkling wine during your career?
I was going to ask, and I've never made sparkling wine.
Wow. Do you want to?
I was going
to
say, she didn't say yet. I was waiting. I have not done that yet. Is there a yet?
It's funny because I've been tasting so many different types of sparkling wine and champagnes that I know what I like. Mm-hmm. I like the drier. And one of the things about my menu is I always list the dosage. Mm. And a lot of people come in and they're like, some people know what exactly what it means. Some people are like, what's this dosage? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dosage.
Yes.
It's the level of sugar in wine. And so I put it on my menu so people can see, yep, you know, that you can get a drier one, you can get a sweeter one, you can mm-hmm. get your average, which is around 7. So. Mm-hmm. Just kind of educating. I love educating people and teaching people about champagne.
No, for sure. And I love that you list what grapes,
yeah,
what grape varieties are in each of them. Because I think you kind of, you hear a Brut or a Rosé and you're like, meh.
What is it?
Like, maybe the Blanc de Blanc you get, but... Yeah.
I think it is a category of wine that so many people feel invited in, but they don't necessarily know a lot. But in a friendly setting, they may
non-vintage,
have questions.
Vintage.
Yeah. Like, what does it all mean? Yeah. How many years on the lead, or, you know, whatever you're
and
describing.
And I think that comes down to the blind flight. When people get an opportunity, sometimes they don't even care about doing tasting it. They just want the opportunity to taste three different bubbles. Like, 1 month I did one from Champagne, one from England, one from California, and you had to guess the country. And people are like, well, I want to do it just to taste the British bubbles. Mm-hmm. And so then, like, a few months later, I did three different British bubbles. So I've got people that are curious and learning and want to expose themselves to.
Do you have, like, a blind flight of the month club where someone comes every month and does it? Do they get anything special?
I just started because people
I'm like, the regulars?
I now have a wine club called the Blind Flight Bubble Club. And so 4 times a year, I send out wine clubs, or you can pick it up. It's the Blind Flight. So you get little bags, you get little tasting sheets, you have the three that's on the menu for that month. And I coordinate it timely with one shipment is going to be rosés, one's Blanc de Blancs. So I have it all organized. But I want people to be able to do it at home with their family and friends. And you get the little bag and you do it. It's, you know, a different setting.
Yeah. Steve and I are part of a brown bag wine club. So similar. So every month rotates around to someone's house. We pick a different varietal to try. And it's so much fun guessing origin, or if you know the origin, guessing the quality, the price, the, you know. Yeah. The oak program, everything that's blends. I love it. Yeah. And then we're competitive and we try to win like your favorite, and then you get to choose what's next. So we've been winning a lot, and so given, you know, the marketplace, Steve is forcing everyone into every other month it's Chardonnay or Pinot Noir from Sonoma County. So he's like, until we lose, you're gonna drink what I grow. So there you
it's
go.
A good tactic.
Yeah, right? It's like, so you know,
depletions.
Totally, it's all about depletions. That's another whole, you know, route to do.
I am gonna do one thing for so the city of Healdsburg is having their season to sparkle, which is starting on November 15th through the end of the year. Nice. And it's just a way to get people to come to Healdsburg. Mm. I loved it last year. They asked all the businesses to put sparkles up. Oh. And it's almost like
how easy for you to
Hallmark
do that.
Hallmark Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got most sparkly. But I want to do this year, I want to do the 12 days of champagne.
Ooh, nice.
And I'm going to do a tasting where you get to taste 12 different champagnes. And if you come in and you actually do 3 a week for 4 weeks, then you get a punch card and you'll be able to be a raffle for a Magnum. So for the holidays.
Okay, so Carissa just left already.
I know.
Go and start
I'm getting in line.
All right. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Sarah Quiter. On the Good Stuff with our guest, Sarah Quiter, owner of Healdsburg Bubble Bar. So tell us a little bit about what people are asking for, what you're seeing as, you know, either exciting new developments in sparkling.
We want bubble trends.
Yeah. What do you recommend Carissa drink right now?
Yeah. What do I have to wait for?
Yeah. What should she order on air?
I think what I'm finding is a lot of people, because I list the dosage, most people are like, I want dry. I want dry. Mm-hmm. I want dry. So they tend to get... I have zero dosage. I have three. I have two, six. Those are on the drier side. I would say the majority of the people are looking at the sugar. And, you know, it's funny because I do, well, why don't you try a dry one next to one that's at seven, which is your average? They generally like the one that's at seven.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I think it you need the sugar to balance some of the acid.
Yeah.
But some people, they talk dry, but they drink.
Taste sweet.
Of course. Yeah. Mm.
So, like but yeah. I do get people that absolutely love the no sugar in their wine because there, you know, there's a lot of sugar in wines.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know that champagne tends to be warmer than it has been in the past, so they're adding less dosage to their wines.
Yeah, because they're just getting naturally
climate change.
Yeah,
change.
Yeah, of course. Are you seeing a lot of interest in English sparkling?
Because that's a ton of that. And I think it's the soil is the same as champagne. They have the chalk, but they also have the climate change.
Yeah.
They're like champagne used to be in climate, so they have the beautiful acidity and a huge interest for British bubbles.
Yeah, it seems interesting. Like the last couple of years, what are you seeing locally? Like, what are some fun bottles that you've featured on your list?
I love my locals. So there's Amista, which has a lot of GSMs, which is Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre bubbles. I have a rosé, a beautiful Pinot Noir rosé from Belletto. I have a Blanc de Blanc from Kokomo in Dry Creek. But Schramsberg, that's Napa. But Iron Horse.
They buy a lot of Sonoma. Most of their grapes come from Sonoma County. So, and they have vineyards
and
over
even
here.
Roeder. I know Roeder is in Mendo. But it's so popular. People love.
We're a huge fan
of Roeder around the town. So that's great.
And what about, what's your most expensive bottle?
I have a Salon Blanc de Blanc. It's expensive.
It's like a car expensive or
no? It's $1,600.
Okay.
What is that? A car payment and two, three? Is
like, yes, possibly. Yes, very.
It's like $375 a glass.
I always think of people who have a hard time spending money on, either single thread or like expensive champagne and the things that we spend money on. It's like we go to a concert these days. How much is a concert? How much is a football game?
Mm-hmm.
Well, new shoes or purses or, you know, all the stuff for cars. We all spend money in weird ways. Why not enjoy something, a beautiful dinner, especially if it's a special occasion?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's definitely an interest in that.
Based on Drink the Good Stuff. So.
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
So are you going to buy that bottle for the next show?
No, probably not. Wait, wishful thinking. Oh, I see where you went. You're like, hey, we should drink that. We should have
Together. Yes.
But you
also have some fun grower champagnes that are, you know, very different price points and accessible.
I love the grower champagnes, and I feel like my list has
explain
expensive.
What a grower champagne is.
A grower champagne is a champagne that a house in Champagne that grows their own fruit, makes their own wine, and, you know, does their own aging, and they do the finishing product. They do everything themselves. It's kind of
like our state here, right?
It's kind of like our little guys here where otherwise they sold their fruit to the big houses.
Mm-hmm.
So they did that. So now the little grower guys are doing their own.
Yeah.
Which is super
fun. There's a lot of excitement around that. And
they're good. And they tend to be less expensive, but they've got the fruit that used to go to Crew, or used to go to Dom and all these.
Yeah.
Some of them are so good and the sites are gorgeous. The wines are beautiful. And why not?
Yeah.
Get it cheaper.
Yeah. Well, I love Cremant for that reason oftentimes. So maybe explain what Cremant is for people who don't know.
Cremant is a term that is used in France that is sparkling wines made from different areas, but not in Champagne. So they have Cremants of Alsace, Cremants of Burgundy, Cremants of the Loire. So,
and they can be so good and so affordable.
There are so many beautiful wines all over, really.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay, let's buy those too.
I know. Yeah. Well,
we just need to be going to the bubble bar often.
I love the Blanc. I love a Blanc de Blanc, so I love Jay Locally's Blanc de Blanc. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Iron Horse's Ocean Reserve, which is their Blanc de Blanc.
So. Their wedding cuvée is pretty good.
And their
too.
Wedding cuvée is good.
Consistently. Yeah. Like so many of their better known cuvées are so consistently.
And I do
great.
Get a lot of bride and grooms. I actually had two people on their wedding day come in to the bubble bar and said, "We're here, we just got married."
I would totally do that.
Oh
my gosh. Yeah. You chose me? Okay, what do you want?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay,
I love that.
We have to take another quick break. We'll come back to wrap things up with Sarah and hear on the good stuff. Today's good stuff. So, Sarah, in the time that we have remaining, tell us a little bit about how people can visit, your hours. Tell us everything.
So, my location is 134 North Street, which is right behind Valette Taste Room and Single Thread. So, we are open on Wednesday through Sunday from noon to 7 p.m. Currently, summer hours are till 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. But we're in winter, so I closed a little bit early.
Yeah, okay. And reservations required, not required, it's first come,
no
first
reservations.
Serve.
My place is so small. It's only for 25 people max.
Yeah.
And so to me, to make a reservation for such a small space just didn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I've had to turn people away, and that breaks my heart, but sometimes, most of the time, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll come back.
99%.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
But if I'm bringing the team, we're going to get a little reserve sign. Just want to make sure. Is that true?
We're just going to have to put a bunch of purses everywhere.
I actually have done private parties and a bridal shower, a birthday. I had a celebration of life. They just, they buy me out as a private party event. And usually it's either before I open or, any other time. And it's just something that they just want it to be them celebrating.
Mm-hmm. Like so it. People can find out more, healdsburgbubblebar.com.
Yep.
Phone is 707-395-4434. You have an Instagram, people can follow
Instagram,
you.
Instagram, Facebook, I'm all on there. And that's where you see, if you win, you guess correctly on the blind flight, I do a post the first of the month, throw all the correct tickets, and I do it on social media, who gets the free bottle.
Okay. Well,
that's exciting.
Good luck.
Well, I know.
Carissa.
I know. I see you looking at me. No, I'm going to need you to come with me so you can correctly guess the blind tasting. So and then I'm going to put my name in the raffle.
Except I might not.
I'll be like, look
but
what
sure.
I got.
Sure. I'll be there
for
moral support.
Can we just do it until I do?
Yeah, how many tries do we get? Yeah.
I actually had one gentleman come 4 times in 1 month.
Oh,
same
wow.
wine, 4
okay.
times.
Okay,
got it wrong all 4 times.
Oh, dear. I don't want to be that person. All right, quickly, Tuesday Night Wine, because we're running out.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to do the, in honor of Bubbles, the J Vineyard Rosé. I love that sparkling wine.
Okay, Sarah, what about you?
I'm going to do a Mista, the sparkling Syrah. I love their story. It's the woman owner, a woman winemaker. Ashley's great. And I also realized that they started making sparkling wine based on giving grapes to the Santa Rosa Junior College wine program and teaching the students how to make sparkling wine.
Oh, my gosh. That's
and that's how their whole sparkling program started. And I love that.
I had
that's
no
a good
idea.
Bell. That's worthy, bell worthy.
Okay, well, my pick, other than the salon that Chris is going to buy for us, is...
for sure, on it.
Is
Save it.
Oh, yeah.
Save that bottle for us.
Save it for us. Ultramarine Blanc de Blanc, which is probably not that much less expensive, and from Charlie Heinz Vineyard, 2020, it's always been based around that vineyard, which I kind of love, so...
That's great.
There we go. Well, thank you so much for joining us, everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Go to the Healdsburg Bubble Bar.
This might be one of my favorite episodes, all about bubbles.
I'm sure it is. Okay, how many more times?
I know, not done, no
it's
job.
It's so happy.
Right? Thank you.
I know.
You can't. Bubbles are happy. The bell is happy. What's
We're
not
happy.
To love? We're happy.
We're
What's
happy.
Not to love? I know. Well, I'm bringing in the whole team. I'll bring my own reserve sign. We'll do the blind tasting. We'll order the good bottles. We'll celebrate everything sparkling.
Today. All right. Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink the bubbly good stuff.
Cheers to that.